This is Market Plus, one of three podcasts from the program. Please subscribe today. This is Josh Bittner saying thank you.
Welcome in, everybody, to the Friday, January 14, 2022 Market Plus. Back at the table, Naomi Bloom, Ted Seifert, Matthew Bennett. I have to read their names because I can't remember them if I look at them. Ted, post-game reaction, what did you think of the show? What did you want to say that you didn't get to say?
Yeah, good question, Paul. I think something that I wanted to kind of push a little bit more is that, hey, look, prices are really good right now, right? How many times in my 18-year career have we been above these prices? Three or four times. How many times have we been at or above these prices in the month of January? And the only time I can think of would be January 2013 as we were on our way down, right? These are really good prices. We need to be managing this risk right now. I think we talked about it briefly in the show. Yes, input costs is a thing. But to me, if you did book higher input costs, I still think you need to be making cash sales because you have more to risk at that point. But also, it really opens up the idea of a re-ownership opportunity because if prices go sharply higher, you want to participate in that. But I think that's a point that I wanted to stress a little bit more during the show. I'll stress it now. We need to be making cash sales. I'm asking guys to be 30, 40% sold on new crop already. I know it's January 14th, but we need to be fairly aggressive with these prices because history tells us we don't stay up here very long.
So
people keep asking me about cash corn. You know, like, what should I do with my old corn? Because obviously, there's a lot of talk out there that we could go substantially higher. But I'll tell you a couple of facts. The fact is that there's an inversion in the market. Right. We have an inverted market, first of all. Second of all, you're sitting here in the month of January running overs on basis. SIF values at the Gulf are a dollar over. FOB values substantially higher than that. And so you're sitting here as a producer and you're saying the facts of the matter is that there's an inverted market with really strong basis. That's a fact. And you can say that those facts lead me to the assumption that people are going to want my corn later, right?
Right.
Facts versus assumptions. And so if I'm a person who wants to base myself on something I know is a no-brainer, $6 corn. What is wrong with $6 corn? You look at your input prices for the 21 crop and you're wildly profitable. And the other thing I want to say is let's get it out of our head that we're going to make near as much money in 22 as 21 because it's highly unlikely.
Agreed.
Naomi?
I encouraged cash sales for new crop. Today also looking at 25% sales because it was $13 beans and $5.50 corn. And that new crop corn has just been trading sideways for almost 3 months. It can't get out of the range. And my thought for the short term, as far as old crop prices, I agree with getting prices going if you haven't made more sales because quite frankly, for the market to go substantially higher from here, you need the stars to align, and that means you need a lower dollar, you need more bad weather in South America, you need our export market to pick up, and you need a potential weather issue with our crop here in the United States this spring or this summer. So we might be stuck here like we were last year, 3 months of sideways prices, and then what happens, you know, if basis levels start to slip or things like that.
And look at that 23 corn like you talked about during the regular show. Look at the 23 corn coming on with the big strength lately. Hey, that's a gift. Let's look at selling that too. 10 to 20% of next year's crop. Why not?
Right.
Right? And to your point, what's the problem with $6 corn? Well, $7 corn.
Yeah, of course.
But again, we have these tools at our disposal to be reinvested in. We can re-own that opportunity having a whole lot of risk.
An inverted market. Own some July call spreads. There's July call. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. And so I've told people, you know what, if you really want to sell some corn, make sure you really want to sell it whenever you call your end user and you make an offer. Because I've had several guys lately tell me, they call the guy and they say, hey, I've got corn, especially if it's a home, obviously, because it's worth a little bit more money there. You know what, I want $6 corn. And the guy says, sold. And then they've got remorse because they know that they should have shot for a higher number. Yeah. But what I've been telling them is if you're going to get 10 cents, 15 cents better than what you thought you were going to get in an inverted market, take your 15 cents, buy yourself a call spread, stay in the market.
So before we go on, this is a question that's legit, I think, for many. Gary in Franksville, Wisconsin, Naomi's asking, after a blah report, better weather forecast for South America and decent prices, what would make someone want to keep grain in storage?
I would move it if it was mine.
You answered that, but I wanted to interrupt you all three and say we've had this question several times.
Well, it's a conversation I have with clients every day on the phone. You know, I'm asking, okay, where are you at for your sales? You know, what are your target prices? And there's not necessarily a strategic plan. And so it's the conversation of exactly what we were talking about. Okay, well, let's do the math. If you make the cash sale now, if you reinvest 15 cents, this is what the upside looks like. If the market does go higher, this is how it can, you know, reown on paper. But what if we come back from a three-day weekend and it's been beneficial rain in South America and the temperature's cool, or, you know, China's going to be out of the market for a whole month in February because of their lunar holiday followed by the Olympics. So we don't know if they're going to be around. And if we don't get that strong export number, well, prices might slip. So don't forget what's in front of you and the value that's there.
Yes, absolutely. One thing that I think makes you want to hold on to it, Paul, like a producer that I work with in a very cattle-rich area of Kansas this past week told me that he was offered a dollar over for corn.
Really?
Yes. And so that makes you, as a producer, say, well, someone might really, really want my corn later on, and so, you know, I want to hold on to a portion of it. One thing's for sure, cash ownership is where it's at whenever people want the corn. But again, like Naomi said, the thing that we've got to remember, there are a lot of chips on the table with $6 corn, and the kind of yields that we saw last year, we just confirmed a national record yield. And so that means everyone, for the most part, not every single producer, but most people had really, really good corn. And you take really, really good corn times $6. That's big money.
That
and
is.
So lock it in and then put yourself in a position to participate, at least in a portion if it goes on up.
Yeah. Well, okay, so you got to manage your risk and you got to manage your opportunity, right?
Yes.
Use cash sales to manage your risk. Don't use your bins to manage opportunity. Use the board to manage opportunity. Bins in a lot of years are great, but this is not the type of market where that's the case.
Right.
I guess in my mind, the only reason why I would want to really hold on is because if I thought basis was going higher, but then you can HTA that grain too. So use cash sales to manage your risk. Use the board, and in particular, call options or call spreads to manage that opportunity, because there's a lot less risk on a 12 cent, 15 cent, 16, 18 cent call spread. If that goes to zero, no harm, no foul. You've made your cash sales. You've managed your risk.
All right, so Chris and Wall in Illinois, Dan and Gas in Oregon, I think they've all kind of answered your questions, so I'm not going to ask. Ted just, I was about to ask him about the risk, but he just kind of answered it. So instead we'll go to Phil in Dresden, Ontario. Wouldn't be an official market-to-market show without a Phil question. The January USDA report, Ted, confirmed a record corn crop last year. Usually this would mean a big swoon in corn prices. How did we avoid that this time around, and will it be downhill from here on in?
Yeah. Whether it's downhill, I think, Phil, really depends on South American weather from here on out. Not only South American weather, but participation in planting that second season safrinic corn crop. But how did we manage to not break prices? Well, Phil, look at the environment that we're in. We have very strong demand, really, from everywhere. I mean, who was expecting China to buy 10 million metric tons of corn last year from us? We've had a lot of demand. We had declining stocks kind of coming into that year, but it was a great year. We didn't have an amazing amount of acreage. That was part of it, too. But as we've been talking about through this whole plus segment, there are a lot of things that can happen to make corn prices go down or maybe even sharply lower. There are some things that can make it go higher. At the moment, I'm leaning towards higher, but I'm also sitting here stressing the need to make cash sales at these certain prices, because there are other ways of taking part in these markets and taking part in upside opportunity without taking so much risk into the future.
Okay, you said you studied, or you look back at 2013. Have you gone back and looked at some of the other scenario and setups to see, is there a carbon copy from 2013 that we're seeing here in 2022?
All right, so that's a good question, Paul. I think throughout 12 and 13, because that's a major drought year, you know, that's a significant production event that we may or may not see again in the next 10, 15 years. I mean, that's a one-off. The better one to look at, I think, is what happened in 2008 and 2009, because that was an inflationary-driven thing with some tightness in our balance sheets. But then what happened in 2000? I mean, when things really fell apart. So, I mean, if we were to see an economy collapse, which who knows, right? I mean, we're dealing with, if we've learned anything in the last 3, 4, 5 years, it's that things, bad things can and will happen. And apparently at a regular rate of speed, something bad can happen to crash our economy, to tank. I mean, forget inflation, talk about deflation. And you know, that's a bad setup. 2008, I think, is a better, I'm not saying we're going to have that happen, but that is a possibility. So another reason to manage risk.
People are already talking about, you know, four rate hikes. And then someone comes out today and says six or seven rate hikes. Something like that would be damaging for just about everything. You know, one thing I'd like to point out for Phil as well is that, you know, from the 2019 crop to the 2020 and 21 crop, we've raised about 1.5 billion bushels more. So the difference from 19 to 20 was about a half a billion. And then from 20 to 21 was pushing a billion as far as total production is concerned. And what have we done since that time? We've doubled the price of corn. And so a lot of things have changed. I mean, a year ago today, crude oil was $30 lower than what it is today. I mean, that's incredible. Yeah. And so we've had a bit of an inflationary situation. There's no question about it. But bottom line is, I'm like Ted, I'm still leaning towards corn being a pretty good value. But as a producer, you're sitting here, it's like playing poker. If you've got all these chips on the table, you know, and you're up big time, it would be asinine to leave all of them out there and keep drinking whatever you're drinking and acting a fool, right? Bring some of the chips off the table, put the money in your boot, and play on the rest of them. And that's what I think what we're trying to get at with the risk management side. Latch on to at least some of this good fortune, because we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow.
Right.
You think that was his line? That he was practicing?
I've been waiting for the line.
I know. I think maybe that was it.
That's rude. That's just flat out rude.
Yes. And let me add that what is also different about this year than those prior years of like 2008-09 is that in those years, there were not the nine commodities that have tight ending stocks in the United States and in the Northern Hemisphere. And so that is a different scenario where we need the production. The demand has been strong, but we need to have perfect production here. And in those years, we didn't have a trending lower global carryout happening for corn and soybeans and some of these other global commodities as well. So between inflation, between truly, truly smaller crops here in the U.S. and globally, things could get very exciting down the road. I agree with them, though. Sell the value that's in front of you. You just, okay. How can you make sure that these stars align? Why would you want to wait around to see if you can get $7 corn, hoping that the dollar drops, hoping that South America has bad weather, you know, hoping that we have bad weather here? Sell what you have, because it is
everywhere but my farm.
Right. Profitable.
All right, Lanny, last thoughts before we go. You've been great as always.
No, I mean, we
you've handled a lot.
We all three, I think, had a point to drive home. Yeah. I think we spent the entire time doing that. So
that's Ted Seifert.
Yep.
Appreciate it. Matthew Bennett, thank you as always. And Naomi Bloom. Always love to just sit and listen, and I get a front row seat. Thank you so much for imparting your wisdom. And next week, we will look at the state of the economy in rural America yet again. And we'll also pair a couple of analysts. Angie Setzer and Chris Swift will analyze these markets for us. Thank you so very much for watching. Have a great week.